ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The word genius can be bandied around these days for anything and anyone in all walks of life, but for Prince Rogers Nelson, some would say genius doesn't go far enough. Multi-instrumentalist and writer of some of the greatest songs ever, Prince has changed image over the years while still producing an extraordinary catalogue of music. We are here to try and pick a top 10. But first, here are the top 10 best-selling Prince songs according to the official UK chart. So, at number 10 is Sexy Motherfucker and Strollin' at 221,000 units. Sexy Motherfucker. At number 9, it's Get Off, 234,000. At number 8, it's Bat Dance, 259,000. At number 7, The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, 262,000. And number 6, Raspberry Beret, 374,000. I don't know why I said it like that. That was 374,000. At number 5, it's Let's Go Crazy, Take Me With You, 410,000. At number 4, it's Kiss, 475,000. At number 3, When Doves Cry, 578,000. At number 2, it's Purple Rain, 693,000. And at number 1, it's 1999, Little Red Corvette, 855,000. Woo! So there we go. It's all about Prince tonight. And we've got someone that actually their job is as a Prince lookalike out in the pubs and clubs.
Yep. There's nothing problematic about that.
It is Josh from Just Films and That, my number 7 podcast of all time.
Thank you.
How you doing, Josh?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm glad to be on. I feel like this is my 4th time now.
I think maybe it is.
Maybe 3rd.
I think it's definitely your 3rd. I think Alice are now joint on your appearances. So
yeah. I'll get past the one day.
You definitely get the hat trick ball if we do. We keep saying we're going to do them, but they cost too much to sort.
They're a lot. Yeah, so very well, thank you. Thank you for having me back. I'm very nervous.
Well, you said that before we started recording. Yeah. You said you're very nervous. You'd rather be counting down butts and
top 10 film butts.
Top 10 film butts. Right. So what is your relationship with Prince then? Why are you nervous?
I'm a huge Prince fan, and his music's quite close to my heart. So it's a little bit out of my wheelhouse. I've never been on to any podcast talking about music before. Obviously, I primarily have done loads of film stuff. The odd bit of football chat, although I'm by no means a football expert or anything like that. And this is my first time talking about music. So, I mean, music's one of those things that is so intrinsically linked to you and your taste and what you like and what you don't like and stuff like that. And it, you know, it can sometimes feel like if someone doesn't like what you like, it's like, what do you mean? It's objectively good, but obviously you could argue nothing is. Although I think Prince comes pretty close to that.
Well, it's memories and it can be linked to, I mean, songs can be linked to so many emotions.
Indeed.
That's memories, the thing when it comes to me.
Yeah. And
the one thing about Prince whenever you get that question of if you could bring somebody back from the dead to watch them live one last time, Prince is always my answer, because I never got to see Prince live.
No, I didn't. I remember trying to convince my parents to let me go to the O2.
He did a residency for about three or four weeks
or something like that. I don't think it was long. And I was just a bit too young, really. And then I think he did play This Country Again, but he didn't do a tour. It was very much like he'd just show up.
Yeah.
Show up and play somewhere. And it was like, well, how can I go if I don't know where it's going to be?
Exactly.
So, I'm the same. You know, I was gutted when he died. I was driving when the news came through, and I almost just swerved off the road there and then. You know, I'm a huge fan. I have many, I think I've got 20 odd albums in the loft of CDs that I haven't unpacked yet because we've moved house a little while ago, and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm a huge Prince fan. What about you then? So you say you bring him back, is your relationship with him? Because we've never talked that much about music, have we?
We haven't. No, I can remember seeing him for the first time, and it would have been the Purple Rain era. So pre-Purple Rain, I've got no real concept of who he was or what he did.
No.
And I can remember, I think it was the Brits, and he turned up at the Brits in his full Purple Rain, like,
yeah,
that was his outfit at that time. And he had like obviously Prince was 4 foot nothing or whatever, so he was tiny.
5'2".
But he had this massive bouncer behind him that had white hair. And it looked so surreal. It looked like he wasn't real. It looked like it was something, it was almost like a cartoon. And I can't remember whether he was performing or whether he was presenting an award, but I remember him walking through like the audience, and it just looked so surreal. Because the one thing about Prince is he always seemed to look on a different plane to everybody else.
Yeah, like ethereal, wasn't he? Or otherworldly in many ways. Similar to sort of, I'd say, Bowie.
Yes.
But then when you see him
like in a normal interview, he just seems so down to earth. He seems like he had a wicked sense of humor.
Famous for his sense of humor.
But when you listen to the stories that like Kevin Smith says, because Kevin Smith was sent to Paisley Park because they were gonna do a documentary together.
And he's saying it became possibly a film for the Rainbow Children or something like that, one of his albums.
Something like that. But the whole story about, you know, you're in Prince's world now. So Prince can't understand. Prince can't understand why you can't pick up a phone and get a camel at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Prince is going to be calling you in 9 minutes.
Exactly.
All that.
Exactly. So you kind of have these two ideas but like I said, there's one of my top 10 is actually a live version of one of the songs.
Oh, right. Interesting. I'm interested in which one that is.
Yeah, but when you see him, like was he on Sesame Street or The Muppets or something?
Something like that.
I'll put it in the video playlist. I'll find it's on YouTube. I'll put it in there for our Patreon subscribers. But he just looked like a guy that just knew he could have fun. You know, he did what he wanted to do. That's obvious. It was obvious that he was like a guy that wasn't going to listen to anybody, especially when it came to things like what kind of music, when, you know, and like you say, doing gigs and just turning up at places and just playing. And
he was sort of fiercely independent, wasn't he? So he had this whole thing about, he, you know, everyone knows that all the jokes that came out of the name change to the symbol, but the whole thing about writing Slave on his cheek and feeling like, well, if Warner Brothers or whoever it is own my masters, they own my music and therefore they own me, so therefore I'm not independent. And he was also, you know, he was fiercely independent. He was very forward thinking in terms of his use of things like that, independence for artists, supporting other artists. The use of the internet was a big one as well. There was him again. I think him and Bowie were really, really forward thinking. They were sort of using the internet 10 years before anybody else was.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. You know, I remember big thing with Prince was he gave an album away for free.
That's right.
Well, what for? I think he had to buy the Sunday Express or something in this country, and stuff like that. And I remember I was working nights at the time. I remember going and getting it as soon as the shop opened when I finished my shift, stuff like that. So he was a star, wasn't he? He had that otherworldly quality that not many people have in this day and age. And a lot of people say things like, you know, the era of the star is sort of dying now, and it's all about the era of the product, and the only real stars left are, there's a real handful of them, you know, Taylor Swift, for example, Beyonce.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't know, in film terms, maybe like a Tom Cruise.
Mm.
But other than that, it's the era of the product.
And it's the fact that he could do everything. Do you know what I mean? As a multi-instrumentalist, I've said it, excuse me, a million times on this podcast, and it's been on other video playlists that we've done, but his performance of While My Guitar Gently Weeps with Jeff Lynne and Tom Petty is just fucking phenomenal. We've got plans to do a live show sometime, whenever it's going to be, and it's going to be top 10 moments in music.
Yeah,
and spoilers, that's going to be my number one. That's my number one. That's my number one, because if I ever feel down, I will put that on, because he keeps looking at people and they're going, no, go again. So he has amazing. And then when he finishes, he just throws the guitar up in the air and walks off the stage while everyone else is taking the applause. And it's just fucking killer.
Is it better than Jarvis Cocker showing his ass to Michael Jackson at the Brits and then getting Bob Mortar to represent him backstage as a lawyer?
Very, very slightly above that.
It's just a bit above that.
Just a little bit above that. So how hard, you said you were nervous. How hard was it for you to get your tent? Did you have like a massive amount to start with and you whittled them down?
Yeah, I've still got them all here. So I thought that I've, you know, sort of been thinking about it as you do, making the odd note and stuff like that. And I sat down to do it the other night. I was like, okay, I'm going to get this down to 10. I mean, I've still got 28 in front of me.
Really?
Yeah, so I could have easily, if I'd have put some more thought into it, done top 30 Prince songs. And I'm looking at my 10 now, and it's like the man, it's not conventional.
Really?
Have you gone for some deep cuts,
have you?
I'm not going for like, you know, something off Let It Go or something like that, although that would be on there. Or one of, you know, there's albums like that where, you know, he pretended he was dead or whatever, or albums that were just purely instrumental or just live albums or whatever. So most of the ones I've picked, I think most people, if you wouldn't know it by name when it was played, would go, oh, yeah, no, I have heard that.
Yeah.
There's a few on my honourable mentions that may be deep cuts, but there's no like massive ones. There's versions that people might not have heard.
Okay.
I mean, the way I've gone for it is I've just done it in terms of my own personal preference and my relationship with Prince as an artist, really.
And that's exactly how it should be, I think.
You know, rather than, as you say, you put it on Twitter and people are very much like, no, it's this, it's only, you know, it's like, well, yes, because you can easily just turn around like you've done and gone, well, it's the highest sellers, or it's the, you know, it's the ones with the bit, you know, most successful music videos and stuff like that. But I've just gone for personal preference and almost a little element of not what he would have wanted, because I don't know the guy or didn't know the guy, but a little bit of, well, put this because it's sort of part of what he stood for.
Okay.
In that way, or part of what I always get he was going for in his music. Because whilst he has very, very mainstream hits, he wasn't really about that. The aura I get in books and things I've read about him is that he was all just about making music he thought it would be good, and that he thought he would, and his peers and colleagues and people and fans would want to listen to.
Yeah.
So he could easily crack out a 12 track album and four of them would be top 10 hits. And equally, he could release, you know, like Emancipation, where it's like a 3-disc CD where, yeah, there's like one or two songs that people know, but everything else is like, no, I'm just sit down, I'm just do what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
And I think that was the beauty. I mean, I will say, I think my top 10 is main, well, is all mainstream hits.
Apart from one,
maybe. But yeah, I mean, I think the other thing was about Paisley Park. Apparently, every single room in the house had the facility that he could record. So if he wanted to, wherever he was, he could just press record and suddenly he'd be able to just start playing no matter what.
Terrifying thought, isn't it?
It's crazy, isn't it, when you think about it? I don't know if they still do, because you used to be able to go and have a tour around Paisley Park.
I think it's basically a museum now, but I don't know for sure. I mean, I'd love to go, but again, it's in Minneapolis, so it's like, it's not in a place where, you know, you think of as being from the UK, being like, I'm going to go to the States, but I'm going to make a point of going to Minneapolis.
Yeah, have a day trip to Minneapolis.
If you got 100 people from the UK in the room and went, where would you go in the States? It's, you know, it's New York, it's LA, it's Orlando, it's other places like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Right then. Here we go then, Josh. No time to be nervous now. Here we go.
I mean, I'm still changing my mind now, but let's go for it. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm purple ready.
Are you purple ready?
I'm purple ready for purple 10.
Here we go then. What's your number 10?
My number 10 is Party Man.
Okay.
So Party Man is one of the songs he did for the Batman 89 soundtrack. It's the one, it's probably the most famous one. It's the one he plays when the Joker and his men are trashing the museum in Batman 89. There you go.
That's where they got all the paint and they're slapping it all over the pictures and everything, aren't they?
Except for a Francis Bacon one, he's like, leave this one.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the Joker and I'm weird. So this is the song that probably got me into Prince. So it has to be in there. So my relationship with Prince was intrinsically linked to my love of that of Batman 89. And obviously you don't really get that anymore where it's like one artist releases an almost companion album of music that is also in the film. You do get, obviously, you've got people like Trent Reznor and Johnny Greenwood and people like that who do music who are from bands, but they're not doing it and being like, and then here is the accompanying Radiohead album to, you know, Oppenheimer or whatever it is they're doing. So you don't really get that as much anymore. I mean, he didn't get it loads then, but you did occasionally get it. And it was very much a marketing thing of, I believe they wanted to get Michael Jackson and he was on tour, so we couldn't do it. So they got Prince, who is obviously completely different proposition musically to Michael Jackson in that, you know, he played instruments and stuff, I suppose. But yeah, this is the song that got me into Prince. So, you know, it's not his strongest. It isn't one of his strongest songs. But, you know, the audacity to make a film like this for a Batman film and juxtapose it against sort of Tim Burton's gothicness and have this quite wacky scene where, you know, if you think about going into that film, the worry was everyone was going, well, it's going to be like the 66 Batman. It's going to be not what we want or not what a lot of fans want. I mean, I think the 66 Batman and the company and stuff like that, it's got its place. It's your taste. Depends what you like. But what a lot of people were like, we want the fierce creature of the night that is Batman. And then Tim Burton went, no, you'll get that. You'll also get this.
Yeah.
So that is the song that led me to sort of discover Prince was listening to it and being like, oh, what's this? And then back in the day it was, well, I'll buy the album. I'll listen to that, and then I'll get other albums. Well, what is his most successful album? Oh, this one. What's his most critically successful album? So that's my number 10. Not his strongest song, but I had to put it in there because it's the, you know, it's the spark that lit the fire.
Yeah, it was a weird concept, wasn't it? Because you had the soundtrack album, but then you're like you say, you also had this completely sort of standalone whole album by one artist. But I can remember when the Batman, like the title track, I suppose you want to call it.
Yeah.
I can remember it had a little bit of sort of like people didn't really like it, did they?
The 89 one?
Yeah, from what I can remember, the Prince, like the Batman, although because it had like the 66 Batman bit in it, didn't it?
I don't think it was pretty critically well received, but actually, you know, there's a couple of songs on that album that I actually, you know, I think are okay. So there's obviously the two songs that are prominently in the film are Party Man and then later on at the parade scene that they play Trust.
That's right.
But there's also bits where it's on in the background. So there's a bit there's a bit early on at the party in Wayne Manor where I can't remember what it's called, but it's playing a Prince song. I think it's called Lemon Crush or something like that. Lemon something. I don't know. I can't remember what it's called, but it's on in the background.
Yeah.
When Vicky Vale's walking around Wayne Manor trying to figure out which one's Bruce Wayne. And then at the end, there is, I think it's Scandalous. There's Arms of Orion as well, but Scandalous is in it, and Arms of Orion. There's two love ballads as well. I think they're okay. You know, they might not be up there with his strongest music, but I think they're all right. They're quite cinematic. They're quite mainstream in the production value and stuff like that. So, you know, I think they're okay. I understand if you're going to compare that music to Sign of the Times or Love Sex, you might go, what the fuck is this?
But I
don't mind them. I have a soft spot because of what they're linked to.
Yeah. See, look, first one, we got you talking about movies already. I can't be
that
fast.
Might be, I mean, there, you know, there's one very prominent movie when it comes to Prince that isn't Batman that I'm sure we'll come on to.
I'm sure we will.
Kiss Under the Cherry Moon.
Yes.
Which is the one he did. Is it called that? The one that I can't remember.
I think it was under the cherry.
He plays
moon.
A gigolo in it.
Yes, that's right.
You're number 10.
That's fine. okay, so when we've done some of these music ones, when we've done the top 10 or the number ones of a certain decade. Well, it was the 90s and the 2000s. For certain months, I've had to choose certain songs because they were the months that my kids were born. Oh. So for number 10 on this one, I had to choose The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, because that was number one when I got married. So I've had to put that one on. Plus the fact it's just a lovely slice of the kind of soul stuff that's really polished, and it kind of Bruno Mars reminds me of Prince.
Yeah,
like
I can
this
see
now.
That. Yeah, so this is my number 8.
That's your number 8.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's my number 8. So I had to put this in there for me. It is. I mean, it's so cheesy.
Yeah,
it is so cheesy. But I remember it was one of the first Prince songs after I got into Party Man. And Batman and stuff like that, that I had on repeat. Now I remember it coming out, but not really, because it would have been mid-90s, late 90s.
So it was 94,
yeah. So remember that coming out, and you'd have been in trouble then if you got that wrong, wouldn't you?
Shit, no, 93.
Yeah. 93. How long have you been married, Pat?
Oh, shit, what year is it now? It's the 30th anniversary this year.
Right, so 94.
94 then.
Yeah, 94. And you love your wife very much.
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Let me just we're recording this on Valentine's Day.
We are. We're okay. Have a cuddle after this, aren't we?
So we're both leaving our partners sat in another room while we're talking about Prince. But anyway.
Yeah, indeed, about our love for another little man.
Yes.
Most people in the world. Actually, I mean, technically, actually, you could argue it's not a Prince song because it's released under the symbol.
That's right.
But, you know, it is.
Don't start getting technical with me now, for God's sake.
Yeah. I mean, I, again, if someone had one repeat back in the days of when you had to put all your songs on your MP3 player manually, kids. Yeah. And this was, that's so when I was really getting into Prince's music, it would have been the end of high school.
Right.
And it was that glorious summer between high school and college where I was just working in a shop. And getting the train into work and walking in, listening to music, and then the weekend, spend the money that you've earned, right? And Prince and that is really linked to my memories around that time. And this is one of those songs, because it's one of those songs where, you know, you can't help but sing it in that high-pitched voice. Do you know what I mean? There's no one going, could you be?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Everyone's going, could you be? Yeah. It's one of those things, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just, like I say, it's so polished, it's so slick, and it's one of the songs that I was going to put on my top 10, but didn't, and Diamonds and Pearls is the same kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a lovely slice of just really solid and beautifully smooth soul kind of,
it's just sexy Prince, isn't it?
It's sexy Prince.
You got like funky Prince.
Yeah.
You know, sexy Prince, other types of Prince.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Okay. So that's my number 10. What's your number 9 then, please, Josh?
So my number 9 is a song called Strange Relationship, which is from Sign of the Times. So I put this in at number 9 because I think it's a really underrated gem of a song. It's one of those songs where, you know, Prince, when he wanted to, he could make like a perfect pop record with a hook and a, you know, yeah. So it's got this little hook there. Are you familiar with this one?
No.
It's from Sign of the Times, which is generally considered to be his favourite album. It is my favourite album, although there's others that come close to it. And it's just this, I think, I look at this song and I think, why wasn't this a massive hit? Because it's got a beat, it's got a hook, it's got a sort of almost like, got thematic stuff about, it's the strange relationship we've got with each other and stuff like that. And it's from, so this is my number 9. Yes, I mean, it's so bloody catchy.
Yeah, I don't recognise it. So I'm going to have a listen to this when I put the video playlist together.
Yeah, baby, I just can't stand to see you happy, but more than that, I hate to see you sad. Like, what a pop line. Do you know what I mean? That's such a pop line,
isn't it? It's one of those opposites lines, isn't it?
Yeah,
I love those kind of lines.
Fire burns harder than ice or something like
that. Yeah, that's one I honestly... So. That was a single, was it? Or was that just an album?
I don't know
track?
If he ever released as a single. It's on Sign of the Times. And there's a great live album of Sign of the Times, which obviously just called Sign of the Times, which you can definitely get somewhere. I had it again. It came with a paper one day and my dad gave it to me and I watched it. And it was the first time I remember being absolutely blown away by what someone could do with a crowd's attention in terms of playing instruments, particularly the guitar.
Yeah.
You could play everything, but, you know, his guitar work, I mean, I can't play the guitar, but it's incredible. His guitar work is amazing. The fact that he could do it, dance whilst wearing heels, his vocal range. It's really, I mean, if you like Prince, the Sign of the Times album is him, for me, probably at his best live, from what I can tell. It's incredible. And it's all, apart from one or two songs, it's basically the Sign of the Times album.
Really?
Yeah, so apart from Little Red Corvette, which isn't on the album, but obviously it was a big hit, it's that. So, and this is after Purple Rain. So as far as I can remember, there's no Purple Rain songs on there or anything like that. It's all just the Sign of the Times album with the odd song left off that didn't sort of fit the structure because it's quite a long album and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, yeah, so it's one off there. It's a great album. It's a great live DVD or you know, great live concert for those of you in the 2020s.
Come on, Grandad. DVDs, yeah, sorry. MP3 yeah, players.
I've taped it on long play. And, so Strange Relationship, really, really catchy hook.
All right, nice. Yeah,
that's well worth a listen.
I'm going to have to discover that one, add that to the list, as we say. Okay, my number nine, I'm going from the Love Sexy album, 1988, and it's Alphabet Street.
Alphabet Street, I'm going down.
I'm going down. When we do these music ones and I fade the music up, I always feel like I'm a proper DJ, you know? And this is Alphabet Street. Here we go. Come on, here we go. It's got a very Beatlish little bits in with the yeahs kind of bits. And again, I can remember the video of this. I think this was the video I remember watching thinking, my God, I've never seen a man so thin in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think he had like the black trousers. I think it might have been the Kiss video as well. Might have been another one where you think...
That's the black trousers.
That guy, his waist is the same sort of circumference as my thigh.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
There was nothing of him, was there?
There was nothing of him.
There really was. And he never... changed weight. He never seemed to change weight. He may have got slightly different or whatever towards the end of his life and stuff, but he always seemed to look the same in terms of his build.
But fair play to that as well. Yeah. The fact that, you know, I mean, obviously it took a toll on his body in regards to the physical sort of things he used to get up to, because that kind of was what sort of killed him at the end, wasn't it?
Led to the... unfortunately. But, I mean, Alphabet Street's not in mine, but it's a great record. Great album as well. Again, it's one of those albums a lot of people consider to be up there with like his best.
Yeah.
You've only just been able to listen to that by track.
Oh, right.
So he released that as an album and insisted for ages that it was an album. So if you went on Spotify, it was one song that was 45 minutes long.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah.
That.
So it's only just been changed to being able to go, well, I actually want to listen to Alphabet Street. I'm sure if you went on Spotify and put Alphabet Street in, you'd be able to listen to it, but you couldn't select the album and go, oh, well, I want to listen to tracks 3 and 5. You had to just... So if you wanted to, you probably have to make a note of where...
Yeah.
Track one finished. Because, I mean, I've got one from that album that's not in my top 10, but I know is a great song, which is the opening track from Love Sexy.
Right. See, that's why you're here, Josh, for little nuggets of information
indeed.
Well done. Okay, so your number eight was Most Beautiful Girl in the World.
Yeah.
My number eight, now many might think that this should be higher. I'm not going to press the wrong thing. There we go. It's Little Red Corvette. I'm going to go that. Now, should that be higher? I feel it maybe should be higher.
It's an anthem, isn't it?
It's an anthem.
It's a great song. But it didn't make my top 10.
Wow, did it not?
Yeah, I love that song and hearing it again, I think, oh, maybe it should have gone in there. Do you know what I mean? But I have to stick to what I've picked.
No, absolutely.
Like a football manager insisting on playing a formation.
Absolutely. I agree.
Stick it, and the results will come, Pav. You know,
well,
if I keep playing one at the back. it's one of the only songs on that live album I mentioned that is not from Sign of the Times, and it looks great live. And I think if I had seen him live, this is probably one of those ones I would have been like, it's just an anthem in it.
It is. It absolutely is. I don't think that I'm absolutely gobsmacked that it's not in your top 10. I know.
And this is why I'm so nervous, because all these people are going to be like, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't know anything.
No, because your top 10...
It's in my honourable mentions.
Yeah, your top 10 is correct,
Josh. Do you think it's about a car?
No.
That's not, is it?
I don't think it is, no. I don't think any of his, if you read the lyrics, they're all about sex, aren't they?
Yeah, shagging and that. Yeah. It's sex or God, usually.
I would love to have seen a song by Prince called Shagging and That. That would have been great.
Spends a bit of time in the north of England.
Yeah. It would have been so good. Yeah, chips and gravy, shagging and that. That would have been lovely.
Yeah.
Oh my God, a completely different...
From my new album, Fred Dibner's Chimney.
Yeah. Which obviously isn't about Fred Dibner's chimney, is it? That's a penis. It's a penis.
Yeah, it's about a penis. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, Prince. Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Okay, then. Number seven, then, please, Josh.
So my number seven is You Got the Look, which is it's also from Sign of the Times. They're not all from Sign of the Times.
Yeah.
There's only one more, I think, from that album. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's just a sexy duet with, I think, Sheena Easton, who plays with it, who he was one of those, you know, he loved championing other artists. And she was one that he championed along with other ones. Some went on, some didn't. But it's one of those songs that if it comes on, it stays on. You know, no matter what mood I'm in, and then if this comes on, I'm listening to it and I'm singing both parts.
Yeah. And the weird thing was, I mean, I don't know if you're old enough to remember Sheena Easton when she first hit the scene. She was she was a clean cut girl next door singing My Baby Takes the Train from 9 to 5. Yeah. And it was like she was as vanilla as you could get.
And then she met Prince
and God, Fred Dibner's Chimney and God knows what was all happening. That's going to be a euphemism now.
I think in the album that I mentioned, Alive, but I think she comes on stage with him for it.
Right.
And it's proper good. It's like those two singing it to each other sort of duet style. And it's not the last song I got that's a song with someone else either.
Okay.
But this is, I wanted to put it in there because it's just, got such a good hook to it. I love a duet as well. If it's done right, you know, often they're, I don't mind a sappy ballad, but often they're just used to be that. And often I'm like, nah, give me like some couples arguing. Give me that sort of duet. Not, you know, I like a sexy duet. I don't necessarily want I Knew You Were Waiting For Me by George Michael and Aretha Franklin. It's a great song.
Yeah.
But you know, I want this sort of thing.
But just out of interest, when you finished, go on YouTube and put in Sheena Easton 9 to 5 and you won't believe it's the same person.
Okay.
She is so clean cut.
Are we going Miley Cyrus levels of Hannah Montana to
I suppose.
Or
but
Britney Spears, maybe not. I'm trying to think of a modern thing.
I think
I'll look it up.
Hannah Montana and
it's probably the
nearest, but she was Scottish, so
yeah,
it's kind of like she was whisked away to this completely different world that Prince was gonna just completely ruin her.
She did a Bond song as well, didn't she?
She did.
For Your Eyes Only.
For Your Eyes Only. Yeah. See, you can't stop getting back to movies, can you?
I can't. Under the cherry moon.
Okay. My number, Fred Dibner's Chimney. My number seven from 1985, and it's Raspberry Beret.
Raspberry Beret.
Yeah. Now, what was it? Around the World in a Day was the album.
Yeah.
And can you're not going to remember this. Can you remember Britannia Music Club?
No.
Right. So I'm going to blow your mind now, Josh.
Go on.
Right. So what you used to do is, and it'd be on, I'm sure it'd be in like Smash Hits or whatever.
Yeah.
So you'd be able to buy 6 albums for like a penny each.
With your rations.
Yeah, it wasn't that far away. But then what you had to do then is you had to then buy, I think it was 6 albums in 2 years.
Right.
For like full price.
Yeah.
So you'd always get caught. But the trouble is they'd be way more expensive than if you went down to W.H. Smith and bought them. But you got those 6 albums. For like a penny each or something stupid.
Yeah.
Or buy 3, get 3 free or something stupid like that. And Around the World in a Day was one of those albums I bought.
Great album cover.
And
on
it's
that one.
It was like when they're great, you know, it was gatefold sleeves and all that kind of stuff. So you could, you know, you could just spend hours just looking, especially like Around the World in a Day. Very sort of Sgt. Peppery, Beatlish again.
It is. It's sort of like that type of idea on the cover, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's also I think Paisley Park, which is another song from that album, It's very Beatlish, very sort of.
With that the first one he did without the Revolution?
I think it was.
He's starting to move into the new power generation or whatever. Yeah,
I think it was. But there's some great songs on there. But
Hot Life, that's in my honorable mentions. Yeah. Hot Life's a great song.
Yeah, but Raspberry Beret is another one of those perfect pop songs. It's got a great beat.
It's not in my top 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't mind Raspberry Beret. But it made it to the honorable mentions. It's one of the 19 honorable mentions I've got. But it didn't make that top 10 for me.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough at all. I don't mind that at all. Okay, then your number six, then please, Josh.
My number six, first one off, probably his most famous album. It's I Would Die For You.
See, now that is what I find interesting in the fact that you've got that one. But not Little Red Corvette.
Yes, I know. And they're not too dissimilar.
No.
But I just, it's one of those songs. I think it's an underrated song off of Purple Rain. Love it. Love that whole idea. I mean, the film is... Have you seen the film?
I've not, actually.
It is what it is.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's basically like an hour and a half music video. He's, you know, let's say this. He's a wonderful performer. He's not a strong actor.
Is it underrated, would you say?
No.
I don't know
because it's one. Obviously, the whole thing with the podcast is that if it gets 1 out of 10, and I think it's not 1 out of 10, it's underrated, right? But it's not, you know, it's not a great film. It's essentially a series of music videos wrapped up in a sort of weak plot and an attempt. And, you know, there's the odd sort of problematic bit in there that's not aged that well, but it's 40 years old this year.
Right.
So, you know, that is what it is. But yeah, I Would Die For You, which is it might be the last song or it might be the second to last song, but basically in the film. Now, if you've seen the music video to Purple Rain, it's that's the film. It's not on its own music video. But after he does Purple Rain, I believe over the end credits, he does one or two songs. It's been a while since I've watched it. One of them is I Would Die For You. And it's just really, following Purple Rain, it's just a really good upbeat way to end the film.
Right.
But it is, I think it's an underrated song from that album.
Okay. Like I say, your top 10 is correct. I'm not saying it isn't. But
I'm dreading that. I'm going to have to come off Twitter /X after this. As I say, I could have done a top 30. It's, you know, it's the ones I love the most, but I love all of them. You know what I mean? They're all amazing. What about you? What's your six?
Well, my number six, I've gone. Now, this is the one it's the live version. So I've gone
to the
acoustic live version of Cream.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now, I haven't got it here unless I try and find it on YouTube, but I'll put it on the video playlist. And it's just him with a guitar. And he starts playing this amazing version of Cream. When he gets the crowd to play, to sing, you know, it's your time, that bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he starts playing it and they sing it first of all. And he stops and he goes, he didn't like that. He didn't like the way they sang it back. So he plays it again, wants them to sing it. And he goes, no, I'm not having that. So he has to.
A perfectionist, when people have paid.
Yeah, because he's getting them to, he wants them to sing it properly to him. And it's just, and him doing all the riffs on the guitar.
Does he do the sexy mode at the beginning?
No.
The not acoustic one is him. It starts with him like going.
Yeah.
It starts with him doing that though.
But he just is. It's the way that he plays with the crowd and he's talking to the crowd and it gets to. Yeah. I can't remember which line it is when he's looking at himself in the mirror and he goes. You know, this is about. I'm talking about me, don't you? And they're all going. Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. Watch it on YouTube. It's such a good thing. I mean, I love the original version, but that version shows like his sense of humor and he doesn't seem stuck up at all. He's just, you know, just doing it for the fans.
Yeah. And it seems as well that seeing him live and listening to albums was almost a different proposition in itself. A lot of musicians, you get the impression if you go and see them, what you see is them singing the album live.
Yes.
You know, I love Oasis. Mm. I do. But I imagine going to see them live is watching Liam Gallagher and Noel Gallagher sing the songs off the album live.
Yeah. And there's no moving around. There's no show.
Yeah. Whereas it's a show and you see Prince, but it's not a show in a sort of overly capitalistic or whatever you want to call it sense. It's him doing what, you know, he's so independent with it. He didn't release, obviously, since he's died. More music's coming out because he's got this famous vault, hasn't he, with
thousands
of millions of songs in it or whatever that that are going to see us through the nuclear apocalypse for all the Prince fans or whatever.
And but the apparently, next one. Yeah.
So there's one that not, it's on Spotify if you want to listen to it at the moment. It's just called A Piano and a Microphone.
Right.
That's worth listening to. It's lots of his famous songs, but it's him singing them. It's just acoustic, him and a piano. Really, really good.
I'll have to listen to that.
Yeah, really good.
Okay.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
We're halfway through, Josh. So yeah. It's now time for this.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Now, obviously, this would be against somebody normally, like Neil or somebody, but you're on your own. So you've got 10 questions. Okay. I'm going to see what your percentage is. 60% is the best we've had so far.
60% is the best we've had so far, okay.
Well, and you are a super fan, aren't you, of Prince?
I am a big fan, yeah.
So how good are you on his lyrics?
Probably not that good.
Well, we're going to find
out. I'm not a great with lyrics. I'm very much like a, and if I can't, then it's always.
Well, let's find out. I'm going to give you a line of lyrics and you've got to tell me which.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, number one. Let me start again. Let's look for the purple banana until they put us in the truck.
Until they put us in the truck. It's Let's Go Crazy. Do I have to do the next lyric or just the song?
No, just the name of the song.
Oh, Let's Go Crazy.
Is correct. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Number two. Do your dance. Why should you wait any longer?
I don't know that one.
I'm going to try and put you off a little bit with my readings, obviously.
Is it a famous one?
It is a famous one. They're all famous ones.
Yeah,
they're
right,
all big.
Okay. Well, let's say it's Kiss then.
No, it's not. It's Cream.
Oh,
do
yeah.
Do your dance. Why of should course, you wait yeah. any longer? Okay, number three. I'm going to put her in the back seat and drive her to Tennessee.
Embarrassing. No, go on. No, don't know it. No,
it's Alphabet Street.
Right. Okay.
I'm gonna put that
cream Alpha Beat Street era is I like it, but it's like not one of my favorite eras. So I'm very much like a late 70s to mid sort of 87.
Okay.
That's no excuse. I'm supposed to be a fan.
Excuse. Yeah. Okay. Number four. Animals strike curious poses. They feel the heat.
It's when doves cry.
Correct. Well done. Number five. I guess I must be dumb. She had a pocket full of horses.
A little red Corvette. Which correct. I always get mixed up with Darling Nikki because they sound very similar.
All right. Okay. Here's your number six. I'm your messiah and you're the reason why.
Man tries to remember Prince song. I can hear it. Is it 1999?
Oh, wrong one. Shit. No, it's I Would Die For You.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay, here's number seven. I want to be your fantasy. And you could be mine.
Baby, you could be mine. Kiss.
Yeah. It is Kiss.
Yeah.
And number eight, I got a lion in my pocket. And baby, he's ready to roar.
And that's 1999.
It is. Number nine, and they say I'm so shy. Yeah. But with you, I just go wild. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
It's the ooh, ooh, ooh in a West Country accent that's getting me there. No,
it's I Want To Be Your Lover.
That's what's first single, and isn't it? One of his first singles.
The final one. How can I get through days when I can't get through hours?
Is that Purple Rain?
No, it's not. It's The Most Beautiful Girl in the World.
Of course it is. What did I get? Four?
You got five. You got 50%.
Oh, I'll take that.
That's
I'll
not too
that.
Bad.
It's better than I thought it was going to be. I'm not good with that sort of thing. You know, if I was ever on the next lyric game and never mind the Buzzcocks or whatever, I'd be shite at it.
No, you did well. You did well. Well done, sir. Okay, back to the job in hand. And what's your number five?
We're getting into the big guns now, aren't we?
This is
so
it,
I've gone with one of the biggest of guns for number five, which is Kiss.
That's my number five.
Is it? So
there
I just, you know,
go.
As time goes on, I think this has become probably his most recognizable party tune.
Yeah.
You know, weddings and I almost said funerals. Not funerals, unless they wanted to do. But yeah, weddings and the like, big parties and stuff. I think if a Prince song's going on, this in it, you know, you're not.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe When Doves Cry, maybe. But, I don't know. It's, you know, you're not gonna play Most Beautiful Girl in the World, are you? Unless it is a personal reference to something. If a Prince song's going on at a big do, I think it's this.
Yeah, I'd be either this or 1999. I think.
Or 1999. Yeah. And so I mean, it's great. It's just such a good pop song, isn't it? And one of those ones that it just feels like it's gonna last forever.
Yeah,
it's never got any worse. It's never got any less popular, any more popular. It's very much one of Prince's main legacy songs, I would say.
And it's got that, we say iconic so many times, but the iconic video, the black and white video, and again, a little bit of his sense of humor, I think, comes out with it a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's when you look at his little sinewy body.
Yeah,
gyrating and
you think that man has slept with more people than I've met, and he looks like that.
And he's got a lot of use out of Fred Dibner's chimney, hasn't he?
He was sexy though, wasn't he? I've been in bars with friends and stuff before, and you've had that whole conversation about like who was, you know, talking about Prince or whatever. And I've known a lot of like female or even gay friends or whatever, be like, oh no, yeah, something about him.
There was
not even necessarily the way he looked, but the twinkle in his eye. Do you know what I mean?
And the fact that you could just pop him in your pocket and take him away.
And then, afterwards, you could smuggle him out really easily.
Yeah,
really easy. And, you know, he was not shy about the fact he loved sex, was he?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's plenty of things that have come out, both when he was live and afterwards, which we don't need to get into, where he might not have been best in certain ways, but I think that's sort of bound to happen with plenty of people who get to his sort of level. And in no way am I decrying it or anything. I'm just saying it's there, and that's what it is. But we're talking about the music, aren't we? So I think Kiss is, it's just up there, isn't it? It's just that it's the song that goes on, and it's like I see people go in the dance floor. Yeah, you know, there's songs for me that kill the dance floor. There are songs that get me on there, and Kiss is one of them that's getting me on there.
There are certain songs that even get people that can't dance up onto a dance floor, and Kiss, I think, is one of those.
Yeah, it is. And it's easy to dance to as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, some of us maybe.
Josh. Yeah, listen, I'll show you. You've got to put some tight leather trousers on. You've got to be doing all these, you know, sexy poses and stuff, and before you know it, you're being asked to leave.
And there you go. Yeah. Fred Dibner's chimney pops
Fred Dibner's
out.
Chimney.
Okay, so that was both of our number fives. Then. So we're back to you for your number four.
Number four is 1999.
That's my number three.
That's your number three. It's an amazing song. It's really great. But also, I've put this high because it's the Prince song, I think, that more than any else transcended music and made its way into pop culture. You know, the phrase, tonight we're going to party like it's 1999. I know, I'm assuming he made it up.
Yeah.
And I know people don't say that much anymore, but if you said it, people would know the phrase.
Yes.
To an extent, I'm sure there's plenty of people who wouldn't.
Oh, I still say it.
I think plenty of people would be like, yeah, tonight we're in a party like it's 1999. Yeah,
I still say it now. If I'm, whatever situation I'm in, but I will say, oh, we're going to party like it's 1999, even though that was 25 years ago.
Yeah. And it's about, you know, this whole thing of he's singing in it. And now, as far as I know, the female voice is his voice.
Yes.
And he's altering it and almost doing a duet with himself. So that's with the Revolution, isn't it? And I think Wendy and Lisa, who were his guitarists, were on it on backing vocals. But I think the main vocals are both him.
Yeah, because the low voice in the video, I think, is the bass player lip syncing to it.
Yeah.
That's him singing it. That's him singing it without a shadow of a doubt.
And that's the first time I can remember seeing him in, you know, big old purple coat.
Yes.
Obviously, Purple Rain's the famous one, but he looks very similar in that to an extent as well. Great song. I just think it's a brilliant song. Really great lyrics, you know. And like I say, I put it high because it really did transcend music.
I completely agree. Yeah. Everything you say, plus 10, I think. it becomes one of those, it's like you say, it's one of those movies, I've got me going now. One of those songs, first 2 seconds, you know exactly what the song is. You just need the first chord, maybe even just the first chord, and you know exactly what that song is.
It's one of those ones as well where, you know, I'm not one to decry pop music or anything like that. I'm very much, you like what you like, but I was dreaming when I wrote this, forgive me if I go astray, but when I woke up this morning, I could have sworn it was Judgment Day.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine someone writing that now.
Yeah.
You know, it's I don't know. But then, you know, the way pop music is now, I'm sure we'll be looked back on in a similar way in 30 years' time. So, but you know, I just think, great.
I don't think that's the case.
No, I think so.
No, I think it's too disposable these days.
I was having a drink with someone the other week, and they said, I said something about Harry Styles, and they were a huge Harry Styles fan. And I said, and we were talking about how we just watched the Robbie Williams documentary on Netflix. And I said something like, fucking hell, you just forget how massive he was. I was like, for a couple of years, you couldn't touch him in this country. And they went, oh yeah, but still knocking on Harry Styles. And I was like, whoa, 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 hold the phone. Yeah. I was like, listen, Harry Styles is great. And I would argue that in some ways he may become bigger than Robbie Williams. I said, but at the moment, he's bigger than Robbie Williams in, say, he's been in films and stuff, and he's been in One Direction. But I would argue in this country, Robbie Williams is still bigger than him.
Yeah.
And she said, but Robbie Williams wouldn't sell out arenas. I was like, he'd sell out an arena in a day.
Yeah.
He's massive. He's not as... And Harry Styles is huge as well. He's brilliant. You know, I quite rate Harry Styles and stuff like that, but I remember it being an event that Robbie Williams, whether you like him or not, sold out Nebworth for a couple of days on his own. And they put it on telly.
Yeah.
Like Glastonbury. And it's one guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I just feel that it's a bit like podcasting in the fact that so many people can upload songs and stuff now.
Yeah, true.
And I don't think it has the same, I don't know. I had the same conversation with somebody about, you know, could you really think that people are going to talk about Ed Sheeran in 30 years the same way that people are still talking about the Rolling Stones and the Beatles?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's almost like a you can't see the wood for the trees type situation, like a voluminous type situation. Because also, you've got to bear in mind that they're then competing with all the people that came before them and after them.
Yes.
So yeah. I don't know. Time will tell.
Time will tell.
But we won't be there to see it. So no.
Well, you might be.
I'll still probably won't be. Friends, mate. So
So that was your number four.
Yeah,
my number four. I'm going from something from the Gold Experience, 1995, and I'm going for Gold.
There's a mountain and it's mountain high.
It's just a great
track. Yeah,
and it's weird because I was doing a spot of singing last year sometime, and I'd finished, and a guy came up to me and said, you know, great night, thank you very much. He said, I don't suppose you know any Prince songs, do you? And I said, it's funny you should say that, as I've got one Prince song that I sing. And he went, what is it? I said, it's Gold. And he lost his shit. He went, that is the song I was going to ask you for.
It's quite a specific one as well, because it's, you know, it's not the most popular, but it's not completely unknown, is it?
No. I think it was a relatively small hit, but it was he released it as a single.
Yeah, the Gold Experience was one of the albums that I struggled to get hold of.
Oh, really?
When I did, I listened to it a lot on CD, yeah. Because it's got that weird thing all the way through, because it's like it's an experience, isn't it?
So
it stops, the album stops and talks to you. And
yeah, it's like very weird.
Bits of the album are meant to be about love, and bits are meant to be about sex and commitment and all anything else that goes into relationships. But yeah, I mean, Gold's a great song. Do you know what? That's one of those songs that's just not... It's just... I love that song. It's a great song. It's just one of those ones where I've listened to it and I've never thought to add it to a playlist.
Really?
Just pass me by a little bit. As in, I like it, and now you've said it, I'm going to go and add it onto my playlist. Yeah. But there's so many songs I like that I've just not added them. But Gold is a great one.
Yeah. Well, I knew it had to be in there. When I'd done my top 10, I didn't realise it was going to be quite as high.
Considering
Little Red Corvette is number 8, and I've put Gold at number 4. But that's how the cookie crumbles. Yeah. okay, then. Your number 3, please, then, Josh.
My number 3 is Nothing Compares to You.
Ooh.
So the version I would like to put in the top 10 vault is the version he does with Rosie Gaines, which is a duet.
Okay.
Which is not that, obviously, this song has been made famous by the sadly departed Sinead O'Connor. And it's I like that version. It's very, very touching, and it's got an incredibly famous video, and it's very well performed and all that. It's got an entirely different meaning when she sings it.
Yeah.
To when Prince sings it with Rosie Gaines. And what I love about it is, A, he was all about championing other artists. So when he does the duet with Rosie Gaines, he's trying to give Rosie Gaines the support. This is it. It's completely different. Have you heard this version?
I haven't. I will have to. Yeah. Definitely.
So it's completely different proposition. So he wrote it. Prince wrote it, as he wrote other songs like Manic Monday for the Bangles and stuff like that. He was all about doing music for the artists as well as himself. So it's like the famous lyrics, it's been 7 hours and 13 days and all that. But when you actually listen to his version with Rosie Gaines, so Sinead O'Connor, what makes that version so touching and the whole famous bit in the video where she has the single cheer down her cheek is because when she says all the flowers that you planted, mama, she said she immediately thought about her mum who hadn't long died.
Right.
And I believe they weren't on the goodest, the best terms.
Right.
So that's why it's so sad. Whereas Prince's version, it's a sexy duet about two people being like, I fucking hate you.
Right.
But there is nothing like you.
Yes.
And it's about that sort of like, almost like a toxic relationship. And the way they do it, the vocals, but to particularly toward the end, it's incredible. I've got goosebumps right now, if you could see. It's one of my favourite songs. I really like the Sinead O'Connor version, I do, but I just think it's a real shame that more people don't know this version. Because equally, there's a version that's just Prince doing it on his own in a similar way, but this duet, it's sexy.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to
listen to that, because I don't think I've ever really properly listened to the Prince version anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I love about it is, you know, I've already touched on a little bit, but you know, you can take two songs with the same lyrics, more or less. I think there's one word difference in the Prince one, which is he changes mama to sugar.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because obviously Sinead O'Connor's tweaked it a little bit and was about her mum, yeah. And his is about a breakup.
Yeah.
But that idea of it's the same song, but the message is completely different.
Yeah, yeah.
And that for me, like, there's a big part of that, and I don't want to sound pretentious, but that's music.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Taking from it what you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I love about it, as well as the fact that it's just a banger.
It's also it's a sign of a good song that people can take it, do their own version, and make something completely different out of it.
Yeah. But the fact that it's a duet, the fact that it's two lovers who are scorned by each other.
Yeah.
You know, that whole idea of, so there's a bit in it where, you know, the whole, I went to the doctor and guess what he told me. So she goes, so the female voice, Rosie Gaines, goes, I went to the doctor, guess what he told me. And he comes back with, what'd he tell you, girl?
Like, oh, right.
It's just like, oh, so good. Whereas obviously her version is, I went to the doctor, guess what he told me, guess what he told me. It's because it's about her own mental health and struggles and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, excellent. I'm going to have to do
it. What's your number three?
My number three was 1999.
Of course, yes. Apologies, yeah.
So we're back to you for your number two. Now, I'm wondering whether, have we got the same top two?
I highly doubt it.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, that means then another one of these songs isn't in your top 10.
It does, unless I've done 11 and I can't count, but no, I think that is right. So my number two, and this could be the most controversial take of all, it's Purple Rain.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So Purple Rain is your number two Prince song.
It is my number two, and that will be recorded in the archives forever, but you just said that. Listen, I love Purple Rain. It is one of my favourite songs. It's just beaten by one other that I love more.
Okay.
That's all it is. You know, it's iconic. It's incredible musically, vocally. I particularly love the last bit where he does the sort of screeching that he does and the guitar solo. I mean, incredible. Incredible. There's an element where I wonder if he would want it to be his number one. Because I think he almost felt like there was elements of a Purple Rain that was an albatross around his neck a little bit.
Do you think?
I don't know, but then because you think about that Super Bowl performance.
That's the thing.
And it rained.
In the pouring rain.
Purple. And you're like, I'm not a religious man, but if anything is God looking down, it must be that. Because what are the chances of Purple Rain during a song called Purple Rain?
I think all great musicians have their... what do you call it? Well, like Eric Clapton has got Layla.
Yeah,
Queen
yeah.
has got Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, yeah. Prince got Heroes or Life on Mars or whatever.
Prince is Purple Rain. It's that song that is better than anything. I've given up what my number one is now, but it's better than anything. You know what I mean? And it's for somebody that is so consistent with greatness that Prince is, this is on another level. This is on the top shelf, and but not that, in a dirty think, mag kind of way.
And I think for me, Purple Rain is probably objectively musically better than my number one.
Right.
And it will always be Prince's legacy, that song. You think of Purple Rain, you think Prince or vice versa. I just prefer what I've picked for number one.
That's fair enough.
But I love Purple Rain. It's for me... probably one of the greatest songs ever written. I've just put number one as a preference.
That's fair
in
enough.
In terms of I want to listen to this over Purple Rain, and it might be because of a uplifting downbeat type of deal. I don't know. We'll get onto that when we do number ones. But I love Purple Rain. It could have easily been my number one.
Yeah.
But there was just part of me who was like, I want to put this number one.
That's fair enough.
But I love Purple Rain. It could have easily been number one. I mean, what an incredible song. And the other thing as well, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
What's it about? Because it's, you know, is it about, in the concept of the film, it's about a breakup.
Right.
But it's also about his relationship with his dad, I think, in the film. But, you know, a lot of people see religious connotations and heaven. A lot of people do see that whole thing of it's about a breakup or whatever. What do you think it's about?
You know what? It's kind of like Bohemian Rhapsody. I've heard the song so many times.
Yeah.
I've never really thought about the lyrics. It kind of becomes muscle memory. You sing it
because
it's just a selection of words that, and so I'd need to really sit and look at the lyrics, because I don't think I've ever really pored over what the lyrics are. It becomes a, I think because you hear it so many times, the same as Bohemian Rhapsody, you don't take in, unless you listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to hearing it, if that makes sense. So no, I don't know. I have no idea what it's about.
I think for me, he wouldn't want to say, based on what I've read about it. So it's almost perfect Prince, isn't it? Because it is...
It's left ambiguous, isn't it?
It's ambiguously about relationships and God intertwined in some way. And that is Prince, isn't it?
Absolutely.
What's your number two then? Can't wait to hear your number one. I mean...
Well, my number two, my number two is When Doves Cry.
Wow.
That's my number two. I think this is actually the first song that I can remember hearing of Prince.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved it. 1984. So
I was number one, 15. I think. First UK number one, I think.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just a great song. Obviously, the way that you're talking, this isn't your number one.
Not.
So it's not even in your top 10.
So I love this song, and it almost made it in there if it wasn't for the personal relationships I have with some of the other songs.
Right.
I love When Doves Cry, but I think there's an element, because I am a Prince fan, of feeling like it's a little overplayed.
Yeah.
But also it's overplayed for a reason, because it absolutely bangs. It's a brilliant song. I remember my parents threw me a 21st when I turned 20. Obviously, when I turned 25, my parents threw me a 21st. When it was like my dad put the music on to start before the guest arrived, he was like, Josh, come down. And it was that. And it started with a boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is great. One of those things of one of the few times in your life where it's my night and I get to pick the music. Nice. And it's a great song. It is. It's just, I love it. So it's such a perfect pop song. I just don't have a personal relationship with it that has pushed those other ones up.
That's fair enough.
You know, but you know, if this was top 20, it would have been in there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Right. Before we count down our top 10, I need to pee.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, me too.
Just bear with me a second. Oh, that's
have you got a toilet in your little shed?
No. It's just up the stairs.
I thought you worked in a shed in the garden.
It is a shed in the garden, but I haven't got a very big garden. So it's just round the corner, basically. I wish I had a toilet in my shed. Oh, that would be heaven. I'd never have to go inside the house anymore. I'd have everything I wanted. Oh dear. Anyway, okay, right. Okay, so that's our number two's done.
Funnily enough, it is. We've done number twos.
So before we reveal our number ones, Josh, do you want to give us a rundown from 10 to 2, and then I'll do the same?
Yes, at number 10, it was Party Man, made famous by Batman 89. And number 9 was A Strange Relationship. Number 8, Most Beautiful Girl in the World. Number 7, You Got the Look. Number 6, I Would Die for You. At number 5 is Kiss. Number 4 is 1999. Number 3 is Nothing Compares to You. And number 2, for me, was Purple Rain.
What a shocker. Mine is number 10, The Most Beautiful Girl in the World. 9, Alphabet Street. 8, Little Red Corvette. 7, Raspberry Beret. 6, pardon me.
When did you release that? Was that on the...
That was one of those extra little tracks that he had.
Yeah, it must be in the vault, that one. I've not heard that,
that
one.
He got
very experimental at times, didn't he?
I think that was the bonus track on Fred Dibner's Chimney, I think. Number 6 was Cream, the acoustic live version from Webster Hall in 2004. Number 5 was Kiss. 4 was Gold. 3, 1999. And 2, When Doves Cry. So, Josh, what is your number one Prince song?
My number one Prince song is I Could Never Take the Place of Your Man from Sign of the Times. Are you familiar with it?
I am familiar with it, yeah.
I just think it is. I think it's got everything. I think it captures everything about that Minneapolis sound, which is, yeah. So it's that Minneapolis sound that he cultivates, which is his signature funk rock new wave sound with a bit of synth in there and stuff like that. I think it is just brilliant, brilliant song. I really, really love it. It captures his musical sound, his abilities. It's thematically very, very Prince in terms of it's about a woman and a relationship and elements of him being a sort of like a savior figure in senses as well. It's amazing live. When he performed it live, there's a huge break in it with a massive, massive guitar solo that would go on for about 20 minutes when he did it. It's just my favorite. I just love it. It's one of those songs. I think it's underrated as well. And you know me, I'm about the underrated. And I love Purple Rain. I really, really love it. But I really wanted to pick this to give it its due. And it's just one of those ones where, you know, I just love this song. I think it's a perfect, perfect pop song. Really, really good.
It wouldn't sound out of place on the Purple Rain album.
No, it wouldn't.
Would it? It's got that Revolution, Prince and the Revolution kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if it is the Revolution. I'm not sure who he was with at that point with Sign of the Times. So this would be 1987. So yeah, I mean, it's probably a really controversial choice that I think people are going to expect me to have said Purple Rain, When Doves Cry or something like that for number one, but it is just my favorite Prince song.
Well, I'm not going to lie when I say that I'm shocked with some of the ones that aren't in your top 10.
Yeah.
But you're also, I think you're more of a deeper fan than I am.
Well, it's also not to say I love the ones that haven't made it in.
Yeah.
It's just I love so many that I had to pick 10 for mine. And I went with personal preference and things that I think reflect his impact on pop culture the best.
Yes.
This is definitely up there on musical style and musical ability, but also, like I said, thematically, but also I just think it's such a catchy song and it's similar to Strange Relationship. It deserved more love.
Yeah.
But I'm also in a way quite glad it didn't, because it doesn't get played and played, which means when it comes on for me, I know that it's speaking to me as a fan. And that's the idea of, you know, everyone likes the music and everyone has a sense of ownership over the artists that you like to a certain degree, which means when you find those little nuggets that you feel like the general populace don't know about,
yeah,
it feels that little bit extra special.
And it's a little bit more yours.
It's a little bit more yours, yeah. I think that's why I've picked it over Purple Rain. It's pure personal preference.
Okay, well, we've got...
I can't believe what you're going to say here. I mean...
Well... It's Fred Dibner's Chimney is my number
dance.
One. It is Purple Rain, of course, and we have already spoken about it, and there's not really much more you can say about the tune. It's
wonder.
Just one of the greatest songs ever written. So
it is. Magic.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Okay, we have got a shit ton of honourable mentions, so we'll get through.
How many of these are going to be? If he doesn't pick this, he's an idiot.
Well, let's have a look, shall we? Phil James says, so many great tracks, but surely number one has to be Purple Rain. Josh? Oh, no, I just added the Josh bit on there. Kim Peniston said, When Doves Cry is a great song. Can't believe Josh hasn't got it in his top 10. Also, Get Off is a great mood-enhancing song. Winky emoji. Darren Brown.
What's she mean by that?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to ask her about that. Darren Brown says, I'm stuck on Purple Rain and Little Red Corvette. Can't believe Josh didn't have Little Red Corvette in his top 10. Eliana says, too many. Little Red Corvette. Can't believe Josh didn't have that in his top 10. All of the above are obvious big ones. Slow Love, also Manic Monday.
Slow Love is on my honourable mentions.
On your honourable mentions.
Yeah, that's a great song.
At Team Dawling says, Raspberry Beret. I will be taking no questions. They say. At Chat Shirt
is one of the questions, why the fuck is it in Josh not in Josh's top 10?
At Chat Shirt says, Purple Rain by a huge, huge, laughably huge mile. Why didn't Josh have it at number one? At Tim's Net says, Sometimes It Snows in April.
That's a really beautiful song.
Is it?
Yeah,
think I've heard that one somewhere.
It's just the piano, I think. It's the one from the album. Is it from Parade, I think, which is
right
from the film,
which
is Under the Cherry Moon, I think, is that one.
Okay.
And that's, that's from that. It's a lovely song. It's not one that you listen to get you in the mood. It's not Get Off.
Oh, right. Okay.
But it's a lovely song.
Right. Mauricio Heilbron Jr. What a great name that is. As a pathological Prince fan who has owned every album, CD, box set, etc., I could list 127 great Prince songs. I had to read the bottom of this image twice. But if pushed, I'd have to go with the full-length version of Let's Go Crazy, the one with the instrumental break scene in the film. Yeah. It's freaking amazing still to this day.
Love Let's Go Crazy. Again, it just didn't make the top 10. I mean, I've been to see the same Prince tribute act two or three times now.
Okay.
They're called Purple Rain. I don't know if they're still going because it's been a while since I've seen them. And they start with Let's Go Crazy because often that's how it would start. And you just know you're in for a good night.
Absolutely.
I mean, you got a beer in your hand. And the guy, he's called Jimmy. He's amazing. I mean, he's honestly brilliant. It's the closest thing to the real guy. That's the biggest compliment I can play him. He is. First saw them at Matthew Street Festival in Liverpool about 10 years ago. Been to see them twice, once in Manchester, once in Liverpool, and they're brilliant. They're brilliant. Full band as well, so you've got backing singers, brass, everything. Brilliant. Really, really good.
Okay. Mark Taylor says, Paisley Park, Take Me With You, or Money Don't Matter Tonight.
Money Don't Matter Tonight.
There you go. Vicky Polson says, Kiss. Tiffany Churchill, huge Prince fan, and I have three, can't pick just one. The Beautiful Ones, Get Off, and Adore.
Adore's a good song, actually, yeah.
Okay.
Adore's a good song.
Ellie B says Housequake.
Housequake?
Yeah? Is that a deep cut, that one?
That's from the Standard Times album. So, yeah, it's from that same live DVD I mentioned. Yeah, it's one of my favourite songs off Standard Times. It's a very funky Prince song.
Right.
And a lot of crowd interaction as well.
Oh,
on
is
that
it?
One.
Okay. Yeah. And finally, we've got Simon from Who Takes the Socks Off podcast.
Yeah.
He says, okay, so I fell out of touch with his music around 1997, except for Musicology, which I bought. I've done my best here, but there is so much material I could go around on this for so long. So he's actually given us a top 10. So his 10 is When Doves Cry, Kiss, Scandalous, Party Man, Let's Go Crazy.
He's a Batman fan.
Let's Go Crazy. If I Was Your Girlfriend.
That was almost on mine. That's a really good song.
Okay, number four is Get Off, mainly because of when it came out and where I was, friends, memories, etc. Three, Raspberry Beret, and two, Adore. I love this song. It's pretty much the perfect love song. And at number one, he says, has to be Right. It's his magnum opus, and it still hits just as hard as ever it has. It's like Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. It never ages. And why the fuck hasn't Josh got this as number one? It's Purple Rain.
I'm not going to be allowed in any of the Prince chat rooms now. None of them.
Thank you very much, Simon, from Who Takes the Socks Off podcast. But there you go. We finally got through it. And it's like a lot of these. If we come back next week or in a month's time, I mean, not saying like the top one or two, but you could easily have another five or six.
Easily. I forgot about If I Was Your Girlfriend. That's a great song. Yeah, that's an... I'm gonna be exiled from Prince Club after this, aren't I?
Don't worry about it.
You know what? I chose what I chose. If you ask me again in a year...
Exactly.
Purple Rain could be number one. But it's not, so you can all shove that.
That's fair enough. Okay, so tell us where we are with Just Films and that then. This will be coming out in a couple of weeks. So.
Yes, let me get our release schedule up. One second, let me just get it up for you.
And
the release schedule as well. So we have just done our Valentine's Day episode, which was Crazy Stupid Love, which I picked, which was, I think... an underrated but also almost perfect rom-com.
I listened to that episode today. Very good.
Good balance of rom and com. Yeah. Where some are too much rom, not enough com, or bad com, too much rom, whatever. Next, we've got a couple of things coming up. So we've got Blair Witch Project coming up. Alice picked that because she likes to torture herself by watching horror films. Then a couple of weeks after that, we've got our 200th episode. So for that, because when it was Alice's 100th episode, I let her pick Terminator 2. She said to me, well, why don't you just pick a film you want to talk about and we'll talk about it. So I picked Batman Begins.
Okay.
Which has no Prince involvement in it because it really wouldn't go. And then after that, we have a film called Go, which is a listener suggestion, which is sort of seen as sort of American Trainspotting. That's the way a lot of people see it. And then we've got Sing Street, which is a musical that I picked, which is a John Carney film, which is... I think, brilliant and underseen. And then we've got loads of stuff booked in, trying to get some more guests on as well. Hopefully you'll come back on.
Whenever you want me, mate. Whenever you want me.
Yeah. And then eventually, obviously, if people don't know, Alice will be leaving us to go and have a wee babby. We will be announcing soon what will be happening with that, who will be replacing her and not being able to live up to her. No pressure. But yeah, that'll be soon. Lots in the pipeline, and we'll see what's going on.
Excellent. Well, if you want to check out my number 7 greatest ever podcast, yep, then the link is in the show notes. Please go and give it a try, because it is, it's like I say, it's the 7th best podcast out there. So
thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And if I did a top 10, yours would be on it as well.
Thank you. It'd be 8 or 9 or 10 though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be before Purple Rain.
Oh, will it?
Yeah.
My God. That's before Purple Rain. That's fine. I'll take that.
Or Fred Dibner's Chimney.
Oh, Fred, that, we've got to start our own podcast called Fred Dibner's Chimney. Eh? We've got to do that. Right, copyright. Copyright Josh and Pav. 2024. We've done it as Fred Dibner's Chimney. Or at least do a line of merchandise with Fred Dibner's Chimney now. We've got to.
God.
Anyway, Josh, once again, thank you so much. And again, you can check all the bits and pieces and social media and what else is it? The email and Patreon and episode links and merch and Linktree. It's all on the show notes. You know where it is. Just click it and help us out. That's great. We love you. We love you. We love you. That's it. Josh, we got through it. Thank you so much.
We did. Thank you very much for having me. And long live the prince.
Long live the prince and long live Fred Dibner's Chimney. Goodbye, everyone.
Cheerio. Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.